Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay.
Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot delta H. Goes based on the data you had for LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio coming to you live from under the sunny smogberry trees near Placerville, California. Actually, we're in Shingle Springs, a sleepy little ghost-ridden town 9 miles from where James Marshall discovered gold in Coloma. Tonight, it's the Ad Hoc Show. We're going to be looking for your ghost stories, and we'll tell a few of our own. The call-in number, 1-646-478-0377. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
You got to love recording systems. I actually record those spots ahead of time and have a lot of fun with it. You got to throw out about 10 of those before you get a good one. You know, just kind of... You know, catch your voice catching, and you're trying to sound excited, and you're all alone in the studio, and you realize how kind of weird you look. But I've been in around a lot of television studios and watched some of the guys that do that kind of stuff too, and they always say the same thing that I say. It's like, damn, you know it's part of the job, but you just feel funny when you're doing it, and you look around, and people are looking at you like, are you for real? So anyway, hey, we've got Kathy. Hey, Kathy, we love you, dear. We see you out there. And Kat stopped in, happened to see I was just running a test show. The reason we're doing the show tonight, it's way off our normal schedule, but we've been having trouble with our main studio, and I had to re-engineer our network connectivity. And so I have what's called a range extender that's put in, and it's you know, still fine-tuning things, but the speed is a lot better, and the reliability looks like we're right back to where we should be. So we're going to be testing that all of that out tonight, and I just want to see if everybody can hear me okay. So if some intruders in the chat room can let me know if I'm getting out there on the air, I'd sure appreciate it, because I can only hear myself through this darn microphone and these headphones I've got on. So the Ad Hoc Show, we're going to play a few EVPs. Had some stuff left over from a prior show that we didn't play, so we're going to play a little bit of that. And let's see what else we have. We've got some news stories. I don't know if Kat's going to be in the chat room here for us. If she is, great. Oh, we see a couple other folks joined us here, so hello to everybody in the chat room. And again, I'm not sure if this chat is working. I can't see if anybody's popping going on here. You hear me loud and clear. Good. ED Paranormal hears me. Hello there. Hi, Christine. Good to hear you here. So anyway, we're going to look at a few news stories and just pick some stuff off the wire, and we'll go forward from there. And let's start with the Paranormal Puck from our good friends at the San Francisco Examiner. Mark Davis, Philadelphia Paranormal and Hauntings. And what he's saying, it's a story about the paranormal puck. And if you don't know what that is, you know, go check that out. Give that a Google, and you'll see it's a device similar to the ovulus. But the paranormal puck is more of a unit that you connect to your computer, and it will pick up both EVPs, I believe this, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. It'll also pick up and translate those into text. It's a very interesting device. It's about $150, $170, something like that. I picked up the Ovilus and have been experimenting with that, and that's a kind of a portable version with audio. It does some pretty amazing stuff. So we tested that out, and as a matter of fact, on July 11th, you know, on my 50th birthday, 50 years on the planet. So we had a bunch of those, and they were really just going full tilt. There was a lot of neat stuff happening with them. The thing that I found with them is that they are not the most descriptive. You'll get words that mean something, and sometimes you won't. But when there is spiritual activity going on, when you know for sure you've got spirits in the area, and they start gelling with things that you're saying, you know that they're working. And when it's not, you know, coming up with stuff that's meaningful, it's probably there's nobody there, and it's just reacting to environmental changes. So it's some people love them, some people hate them. I'm kind of in the fence. I look at them. I've got one I own, and I'm still figuring out quite where it fits here. And I've thought about bringing it on the show as a regular feature, and I'm thinking that we might do it once I get it, maybe get an understanding with some of the local spirits here to come into my studio with me. Now, that'll be a partnership anyway. So let's see. What is the Paranormal Puck? It's a device that is said to help with communication during a paranormal investigation. It also states that this device is for entertainment purposes only. And Bill Chappell, I think that's his name, Bill Chappell, the guy who makes these things, he's really big on this entertainment purposes thing, and I think it has to do with the legalism that surrounds our country. So he has all these things you have to fill out. It's practically sounding like, you know, getting your car when you first buy it. So I went through all that, survived the experience. He took my credit card money, and about a week later, in the mail, in came my Ovilus. So anyway, right from their website, it says, serious investigators will appreciate the features of the Paranormal Puck. Tie your investigation together in one place with all the data time-stamped, logged, and ready for your review. So what is it? From what I read going through the manual, the best use of this device is for documenting the environmental conditions. That includes EMF and temperature data collection. And this device has a list of 2,000 of the most used words in the English language. They say that this list is scrambled 9 times to make it as random as possible. Well, that just tells me that there's a predetermined word for any particular reading. Oh, wait, their manual says that also. This basically means don't use this tool for communication. Well, I'll tell you what, my personal experience, I've been around a paranormal puck in operation over at, Wolf Manor. And that was a pretty amazing experience because it was saying things, the puck was saying also things that were relevant. So, I think that unless you actually use these things and actually had been around them in a variety of field scenarios, I think you can't really just go off and say things about them. You can't just dismiss them offhand. But, again, like I'll stick to my guns on this. I think it's a matter of that you have to have this particular device in an area where there is spiritual activity going on, and then you'd have to be able to pull it out and know when to do it, and that takes some time to develop those skills. So we see the chat room is kicking along. We got Kathy, Edie Paranormal, the Christine is there, and Cap, of course, is there. So we got several folks in the chat room, probably a few more listening out there. So we've talked about the Paranormal Puck. We got something here over at the Coloradoan.com. Okay, color. You can actually say this 10 different ways. Coloradium.com. So it has to do with Colorado. Out in Loveland, ghost hunters to check out Loveland Charity for paranormal activity. And many charities, I guess, are haunted. So let's look at this one. It's easy to feel spooked when walking through the old ranch house at the Hearts and Horses Therapeutic Riding Center property. The two-story building is packed with ghoulish props from the nonprofit's Halloween Haunted House fundraiser. Decapitated heads, skeletons, bloodstained walls, body parts, zombies, and lots of scary stuff adorn nearly every room. But the Colorado branch of the Transatlantic Paranormal Society, TAPS, has reasons to believe that it's not just Halloween props haunting the building. This is the same group connected with the popular television series Ghost Hunters, where a crew scientifically investigates haunted houses using equipment to detect temperature changes, magnetic fields, and other environmental elements that contribute to ghostly activity. And so, anyway, it goes on with a full story here. If you just search on Coloradoan.com and or Ghost Hunters and Loveland, L-O-V-E-L-A-N-D, charity, you can learn some more about this. But, you know, it's funny. I find it hard not to find places that are haunted anymore. I don't know. It was funny. We were talking with my good friends over in Southern California just the other day from Journey Paranormal. And they were saying some of the same stuff we've been coming to the conclusion of, which is there's just a tremendous amount of paranormal activity happening in the world today. And we generally don't have a hard time finding it. I don't know, you know, what some of the other folks out there are thinking. And if you in the chat room want to comment on that, go ahead. But the bottom line is that getting EVPs is almost trivial for us now out here, especially in the area we're at. And I think that even Kat up there in Washington State, you know, over in her area with all of that crazy energy from the volcano she lives right at the foot of, I'm sure she has her share of these kinds of things that go on. And she's done plenty of cases. So, you know, I think it's just a good thing to realize that this stuff is not that hard to get, you know, if you want to go out there and find it for yourself. Now, it does take some time to learn how to be an investigator, and it's always good to go with people who kind of know the ropes and can take you out there and do your thing. But for those of us who've been doing it a while, let me tell you what, we're surprised at how much we do get on investigations anymore. I thought it'd be a lot harder than it would be. But from almost the moment I started doing EVP work, I was getting great stuff. And many, many hundreds of EVPs later, we're now being forced to renovate our whole collection facility to make sure that we are properly cataloging it all. We're just swimming in evidence. So it's matter of fact, it's the basis of a couple of books. I'm actually talking with a publicist about doing a ghost book series for Northern California and Southern California. So we're looking into that. I get to meet that person here in the next week or two, and we'll see if I can become an author. Well, I'll walk around with a pipe in my hand, I guess, or something to look very distinguished. I don't know. Let's see. Sun Journal. This is out of, I'm not sure, Farmington. I know about a Farmington, New Mexico, but this looks like it's not Farmington because it's actually green. Because Farmington, New Mexico is not green. This probably be out in Maine, I think. Yes, it is. Lewiston, Maine. So as paranormal investigation planned in Farmington cemeteries, as Betty Lou Macy and her husband drove through Farmington a few months ago, she sensed other people and how they died, she said. She was picking up their energy and a lot of it. Now, this is something Kat would do. And I think Christine. So she told her husband to hurry up, drive fast, and get past the Fairview and Riverside cemeteries on Route 2. The sprawling cemeteries are right across the road from each other. Macy, a member of Central Maine Paranormal Investigations, wanted the group to do an investigation, and they were interested but not moving on it. So she took it upon herself to call town manager Richard Davis and schedule a paranormal investigation of the cemeteries for August 22nd. She said that she was not sure who or what in the cemetery is causing all of this, but she sensed a person who died from a drowning, another who had a brain tumor, and one who had a muscular dystrophy disease, and another who was burned very, very badly. One that really stuck out was the sense that someone was murdered there. It was during her second call to Davis that he mentioned that a murder took place in the cemetery, and she said she was so shocked she couldn't speak. So Macy lives in Livermore Falls, and she said she rarely comes to Farmington and didn't know about any town history or any murder in the cemetery. Anyway, this goes on. She's got quite a story here. It's a very long page here. If you go out to sunjournal.com/content, /farghosts0729. I'll say this again, www.sunjournal.com/content/farghosts0729. You'll get to that story. So take a look at that. I think it's a great one. Let's see if anybody's called in. We're going to take call-ins to tell your ghost stories. If there's anyone here who wants to join us for our one-hour fest here in the studio, it's the call-in is 646-478-0377. As I get strange little messages on the broadcast computer. Cat, can you hear me? Speak, woman. Do something. Type something on that darned chat room for me. Let me know you're there. Hello. You guys aren't typing back. I'm out here all alone trying to carry the show, and all these people are having... Oh, they're talking about Maine cemeteries. Huh. Good. So you are hearing me. Kat, see if you can read on that cemetery. That would be a good one. Same thing with you, Christine. See if you guys can pick up anything and then tell us what you feel about that Farmington Cemetery. Actually, the one that's... What is it? The Fairview and Riverside Cemeteries on Route 2. So we're going to go ahead and move on forward here. Let me look at what we got in the switchboard. We have a few things to play here. I'm going to run down to the EBTs that we had left that we didn't play the last time. I left them out. We were out on a in mid-June. A number of us jumped in the giant Ford pickup truck that ate gas, it was going out of style, and drove out to the town of Bodie, which is an amazingly haunted ghost town. And we had a rollicking good time. We spent we actually checked into what was once an old bordello that was actually transported from. You don't do e-distance sensitivity. Sorry, says ED Paranormal. Well, Christine, you got to try. Woman, you got to try, so give it a shot. Christine isn't here, only me. What, Kathy? I see all of you there at one time. Yeah, there's a bunch of you there anyway. So we're talking about Bodie, and we got EVPs from the moment we got there. Unless Ed is Christine in disguise, that is it. I rarely call Christine Ed. I don't think she'd take that well. It's ED stands for El Dorado Paranormal, and she's a really experienced investigator here, knows a lot of stuff, and is really good at what she does. And but if you want to call her Ed, I'll see what happens. Anyway, yeah, that was a fun investigation, Christine. I was really pleased with what we got out of it, and I've got the evidence pretty much all put together in one place. I think I got your photos in there. I'm trying to make sure we got everybody's case files together. We're as soon as I get the 1 terabyte drive I just ordered from Amazon, I'll have that up and running, and then we can really pull everything together and do something neat with this system. I'm going to probably even have it where we can remote our folks in and have them just upload directly to the GRI computers here. Their evidence, and that way it's just a casual matter of doing their thing. They can basically almost drag and drop it right in. So that's something that we're engineering a whole new setup here and trying to make it more simpler on everybody. And that's the problem with paranormal investigations, is that it's really easy to go out. It's a lot harder when you get all that evidence to analyze. And, especially like me, I try to put it all together and run the case management and set up the investigations and do all that. And I'm not complaining. It's a lot of fun. But, boy, when you get home and you look at the mountain of stuff, you go, wow, what did I just do to myself, let's take a look at one of these EVPs, and we'll see if everybody can hear this one. We got one here. I think we played some of these in the past. I've got one here that's, hey, look this way, and we used a high-pass filter on this. So let's see if we can actually hear this. And here we go. We're going to play that 100%. I don't know. I'm going to boost that because even I'm having trouble hearing it. Sometimes it sounds great when you go to upload it, and then when you put it up on Blog Talk, it doesn't come out the way you want. So let's give that a try again. Yeah, I could just hear that in the beginning, but it's just so low, I don't think it's a really impressive one for the for what we're trying to do here. So let's jump to a new one. I don't think I'm going to play any Bigfoot music right now. Let me scroll past that. Although I know Cat loves the Bigfoot stuff. At the Cat, by the way, I rescheduled that show for the following week for the Bigfoot-O-Rama. We're going to have a show about the big guy and his migratory patterns. Aha. So let's see. EVP Bodhi Child. Let's try this one. Let's see if we get it 100%. Yeah, and that was, we were out there and there were no kids near us. And at the very end of that clip, you heard this kid say, hello. And he's getting our attention. And we got things like this repeatedly throughout the day. Here we go again. Yeah, right there. Hello. And so there were just constant calls, people telling us either to get out or we were getting a lot of women were coming in. This one here, we have one here from Bodhi. It says, Lucy hired them. And this was down in the main section of town, and we were not too far from the church. There was another building there that was kind of an open area, and I think we were standing inside, so there might not be too many wind noises here. Let's give this a try. It's not the recorder. Yeah, you hear that in the background. It's, sounded like a kid saying, well, yeah, that's right, Kathy. It really was disturbing, some of the clear EVPs we got. Normally, we don't get that many Class A's, but on this investigation, we just got a ton of them. I think on the next show, I'm going to do a couple of more test shows this week just to really lock the studio down so we get it just right, because we're going to have Gloria Young of Ghost Trackers on Saturday, and I just wanted to be sure we had this studio perfect. So we're just going to run a few more checks, and I'll upload some more EVPs and be on for the next couple of nights, make sure we have a good time. And also, just want to let you know, there's a Cat, I think if you could follow up here, there's going to be my good buddies down at Journey Paranormal are going to have a live television broadcast on the Internet of an investigation over at the Warner Grand Theater. So that's something that we are looking forward to. I'm going to be helping with the chat room. And Kat so rightfully caught that we were going to have a show with the Bigfoot-O-Rama at the same time. And so she kind of kept me from stepping on myself, so I appreciate that. So we moved that show around. But the Warner Grand is an amazingly haunted place over in Long Beach area. It's not too far from the Queen Mary. And matter of fact, I plan to go down there probably within 6 weeks. I'm going to load up the GRI Mustang and go at warp speed and get down there and maybe help out on one of the broadcasts. So that ought to be a real hoot. So anyway, we've got another one here with a guy saying rotten. And I think this one was pretty clear. Let's go ahead and give this a play. And, of course, the refresh screen just did its thing, so I got to go back. Here. I'm going to talk to the guys over here at Blog Talk. These switchboards are really a pain. Let's see. We got Lucy hired them. Here we go. EVP Rotten. Oh, yeah. I could hear that. I'm going to boost it up a little bit, and we'll take it to 300%. Yeah, rotten. Oh, Kathy, yeah, you're asking about the Queen Mary. That's yes, you can. Every Friday night at midnight, they have a ghost tour of the Queen Mary. And, yes, it's completely doable to go there. It costs you about $75, which is a bargain considering what you get to do. I mean, we climbed down into the hold of the ship, and it was just amazing. I've got shots on the GRI website. If you go to ghost-writer-investigations.com and go to our gallery and then surf down to 2009 cases, you'll see the March case that we did, and there's photos and all kinds of BBPs from there. So give that a shot when you get a little bit of time. I think you'll like that. And I think Kat's calling in. Let me go ahead and put her on here.
Hello.
Hello!
Hello! hello. It's marvelous to have you here.
Oh, it's a marvelous night. Oh, how are you, my dear? Oh.
I was just cooking cakes here, and we were, you know, I'm dead, you know, and I'm just trying to host a ghost show. In a ghost show about goose, you know, we're all dead here. I'm happy about my new studio being back. You know, God, Kat, this feels great to be back in the chair. You know, I was broadcasting out of the office. Felt like a pretzel up there, you know, at my other place. Although I've redone that, and it's going to be a little easier if I do have to use the alternate. But, boy, there's nothing like the regular studio with my big chair, and I'm just sitting here all comfy with my water, you know. And the fan.
Well, I'll have to come down there and see it, eh?
Yeah, get your butt down here. Yeah.
I'll get my butt down there. Yeah.
Spock bombs. We've got to beam her down.
We've got
to do something.
We've got to get on the plane. Got to.
There's dead people on the bridge. Something. You know, you got to wonder. Are there EVP space? Yeah, I'm kind of in a weird spot today. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to try to get somebody on the space station. That's a new one. You know what? We have got to try to get NASA to do some EVPs. Those guys have got a boatload of recorders up there. I'll bet you we could get them to do an EVP session. What do you think?
I know that those guys definitely have seen UFOs, for real.
Oh, I know that too. Oh, yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
But imagine EVPs. Do you think that they would be getting those? Considering how many people have died on orbit accidents.
You know, and that would prove a really interesting theory that we should do a show on. Can you obtain an EVP without oxygen?
Well, that's the, you know, it's interesting because I was just reading some books on the subject of how EVPs are recorded. And one of the things is that, you know, if you can actually put a recorder inside a box if you want to, like, isolate it from a windy day, and you still get good EVPs. And then they were showing that there have been EVPs recorded on recorders that are in locked safes. So I wouldn't be surprised that if you could put a recorder in space and put it in a low oxygen environment, I don't think it would work. I don't think the recorder would be able to really function well in that kind of environment without oxygen. But imagine, I mean, it's in a sealed container with a little oxygen in it, and it's out in space floating around, and you could still get something. Now, that would be awesome. So,
you know what I bet they've gotten EVPs off of is that Hubble telescope.
Well, data recorders and things like that, I'm sure that there's probably been stuff and artifacts that they picked up. I would not be with any doubt on that at all.
No.
I think there's been a lot. And I tend to think that communication satellites and things like that, there's been a lot picked up. Because, it's funny, is sometimes I'll be listening on Blog Talk to telephone calls, and you'll hear what sounds like interference, and then when you go to play it back, it sounds like EVPs. You know what I'm saying?
See, when I'm on my laptop here and I've got my speakers hooked up to it and I'm, like, looking for new songs and stuff, I swear there's people talking through my speakers and there's no reason for it.
Yeah, and that's the part, you know, you're looking for, there are such things as crosstalk where you'll have, you know, sometimes you'll be on long distance calls and you'll hear other people faintly in the background. And that kind of stuff does happen, so you have to take that into account. But at the same time, sometimes there's really clear what sounds, you know, we kind of filter it out, oh, yeah, that's just static. Well, then you listen more carefully and you go, you know, that sounds like a classic EVP with the traditional pop, and then you'll hear stuff like that going on, and you just go, wow, I think we just got something there. But, oh, my God, it's 10 o'clock. We're already halfway through the show. My goodness. Anyway, hey, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you doing
this. Just only an hour.
Yeah, so, hey, you know, tell you what, in honor of you coming on the show,
it doesn't matter, John, because to be perfectly, absolutely honest with you, it is 115 degrees in my apartment right now, so.
I know the feeling. We just went through.
I'm not kidding with you. We're having this bizarre heat wave in Washington, and it's been 115 in my house for 3 days, 4 days.
Yike.
Yeah. So
well,
I don't sleep very well, so I'm up.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a 5-minute break to give everybody a chance to do that biological thing that they got to do if they need to do it.
You know, go pee.
Yep, that's it. I knew she'd jump in there and help us, so why don't we go ahead and do that? And we're going to play a little Bigfoot in Georgia for just for Kat and see
oh,
if that's
no.
going to do its thing. Yep. So this one's for Kat, and for everybody else, just laugh hysterically while you're doing whatever you're doing. So here we go.
Can they prove it's not just a myth?
A big heavy
man.
They just fake it.
He's been spotted a lot. From coast to coast.
There he goes.
There we go. What I need is a freezer.
Damn. Damn. Oh, you're really strong.
Take it to the Bigfoot bank.
Fighting the alien menace can be tough work,
and so is keeping your hair clean, shiny, and dandruff-free.
So it's a good thing that we always keep a healthy supply of
Head and Shoulders around the house.
And my hair is so soft and curly because of it. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Kat.
Ha!
Bigfoot, man, he's still out there roaming around. Why aren't you out looking for him?
You know, in fact, I've been doing some, I found some pictures of the Natchez Trail that really takes me back to when I was up there, and pictures of all the mud holes that I've been through, and, you know, the weird thing about the Natchez Trail is it actually goes up over
Natchez
Pass.
Where is this place, Kat?
The Natchez Trail extends from Mexico to the Canadian border.
Ah, I probably switched over it a few times and didn't even know. I didn't even feel the word Natchez come to mind, but now we know.
I don't think you have.
Sorry. Oh, good. Okay.
It's an old 1800s wagon trail that goes all the way up. And actually, you know, it connects across to Virginia, too, and rolls across, but it's not as prevalent. I mean, it's not whole anymore. You can find little bits and pieces of it, but going from California to Canada is this trail, and it's very rugged, but you can still see. It's really cool because they have these little placards along the trail of, like, there's old cabins, and it tells you what this cabin was, and you can see these big ruts where they used to run the covered wagons up and down this trail. And
had that hard work, you know. I mean, you think about that, no engine, and you're pulling, you know, all your stuff, and you got mules and kids, and you know. Everybody's having to get out and shove these things all the way up the hill. I mean, my God, I don't know. But anyway, you're bringing it up in the context of that Bigfoot kind of uses these, I tend to think, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, when you go up to when you go up this trail, you get this, just like what we were talking about, you know, how you had the experience of being on the side of the creek and you knew something was watching you.
Oh, yeah, you definitely felt it. I mean, here in the Sierras, we have many, many reports. If you go to the website, there's a lot of cases that have been, you know, through the years, throughout this part of California, all the way to Tahoe, and up to the Trinity Forest, of course, which is classic Sasquatch country. So, yeah, exactly.
And I think, you know, I wish you could go up the, if I could take you up the Natchez Trail, you'd be like, wow, something, I know something's watching me. And it just seems perfect for like a trail to migrate between, because like I said, in September, we have the salmon run up here in Washington, and that is like the perfect time for the Sasquatch to be up here, because I know that something that large is eating something other than blackberries and maybe the occasional wild boar or even a deer.
Yeah.
It'd be real easy for them to stand in the creek, and you know, that brings up another really kind of interesting point. My boss has a like a trailer thing down by along almost the Carbon River out there in by Ording, and there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings out there. So, and when they do the salmon, when the salmon come up the creek, I'm going to go out there and maybe I can catch a Bigfoot. I don't know, you know, capture it reaching in and scooping up a salmon.
You know, you've got to ask yourself, you wonder if what they think about the health care plan that's coming up. Sorry. Does Obama have a Bigfoot health care plan? I wonder what Congress thinks of this. I guess there's going to be a committee vote on this now, so now that I've brought it up. But, you know, I do, not joking, though, anymore. I mean, I tend to think that the time is real short, that we will, in the next, say, year to 3 years, there will be evidence that's going to be indisputable that will be brought forward, because, I mean, there's just too much. Too many cases have happened, and too many interactions with human beings are occurring. And people are walking around with cell phone cameras and cell phone, you know, movie capabilities in these little pocket devices. Somebody's going to get a really good shot of one of these.
I know people that have actually talked to Bigfoot, and I've heard the recordings of those Bigfoot. So when we do our show, I'm going to get a hold of these people. They do not wish to be on the radio. But I've heard these tapes, and it's chilling, and it's very, I think it's a very real possibility that these things, if they recognize you and you're around them a lot, being on Facebook, I've been turned on to some people that are serious Bigfoot hunters, and they've had me listen to these recordings, and it's weird. I think I have a little different outlook on a Bigfoot research now, but if I can get them to release those tapes to me, I will send them to you for the show. You've got to hear these recordings.
Well, that'll give, yeah, thank God we moved the show out a bit, so that'll give it some time.
I'm not joking with you. These guys talk
to
these Bigfoot.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, you look at the size of the creature and the skull size, that it has to be a little bit bigger than ours. They've been on the planet probably as long as we've been, and you know, the migratory route when the ice bridge from Siberia over to Alaska was in available to both humans and Gigantopithecus.
Yeah, that was the Bering Strait land bridge.
That's right, and
mm-hmm.
So it's very, very probable that an intelligent ape like Gigantopithecus continued to evolve on the North American continent all the way down to South America. And you probably have an intelligent ape here. Or the other possibility is that it's a different branch of, you know, hominid. It's a human. and it's just a human that transitioned off a different branch and went off its own way. But, you know, at one time, you know, we coexisted with Neanderthals. And, you know, they had a very complex society. They had actual rituals that, you know, it's the way they buried their dead, and there were flowers, and they had a very similar practice as to handling our own dead. So it's just a very, I think that we're going to run into this and find a culture in place, and that they have a sense of, you know, what life is, what death is, maybe even a form of spirituality, who knows, you know, but it sounds to me like kind of under what you're saying is that there's kind of a feeling of they need to be protected. I mean, would you be thinking that?
Yeah, they in fact, it's interesting. Down in Skamania County, which is down towards Vancouver, Washington, almost to the Oregon border, there's actually a law against killing a Bigfoot in Skamania County, and it's punishable by up to 25 years in prison and a $120,000 fine. They are protected. Now, for those of you that are on the East Coast, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, between California and Canada, there has been 64 plane crashes, and the planes have never been found. That is not a news story. That's a fact. These planes have never been found because the forest is so dense and it's so deep. There's places between California and Washington that humans have not tread because it's just... You got bear and cougar, and you start running into animals that you encroach on their territory. They will kill you. So,
yeah. Well, look at that. Look at that famous flyer that I can't remember his name right off the bat.
B.B. Cooper.
No, not Cooper. It was the guy who disappeared a couple of years ago in September when they go.
Oh yes,
seven.
Yes. The millionaire, yeah, what's his name? Forgive me if I don't remember his name.
I can't remember his name right off, but it took well over a year to find his plane, and it turned out that the bones had been scattered by animals, and money in his identity cards had been found not too far from the accident, but it was enough to lead them to, you know, so, you know, when you realize, here it is, a world-famous, you know, pilot, could have something like that happen and go down and not be found for that amount of time. It's not surprising that you'd see these other kinds of things happen. And, you know, and take a look at Alaska and Canada if you want to talk about territory that's hardly been tread on in many areas. I mean, it's just, you know, ripe conditions, you know, for some sort of creature to be walking around in there and living, and no one would ever know about it.
Well, but, the Denali, you know, National Forest is just like that up in Alaska. You know, it's uncharted territory. Really, the only people that run through a lot of the Denali National Forest in the wintertime is sled dogs.
Yike.
For the Iditarod, so they traverse a lot of that. So.
Well, all I know is, you know, you brought up that sense of the feeling of being watched, and I can tell you, I've had it actually more than once. You know, I grew up in going up to Paradise, California, which is about 18, 20 miles northeast of Chico. If you go up I-5 and head north. But you go back in the backwoods there, and we tend to go back a good 50 miles into the bush. And, you know, there's nobody there. It's just, you know, logging roads, and you get out, and you take your lunch with you. And, you know, everybody agrees what time they're going to meet back up at a set point. You know, you bury your keys and you go off, you know, and that way if somebody gets hurt, you know, you can still get out. But, you know, we all split up and take our section of river, and I would repeatedly through the years I've had cases where I've been walking along and I felt eyes on me, and you know it's not just any animal. You feel intelligence. It's like you're looking for a human is what you're looking for. And it's just the most eerie thing to have that feeling and sensation, and you know it's out there, and you can't tell what it is. But one time I caught a glimpse of something big and dark kind of moving off away from me, and it was across the river from me.
I couldn't hear it,
but I could see this motion, and it just was like it was peeking, but I couldn't tell exactly what I was looking at. You know, it could have been a person, it could have been anything, but it looked awfully big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was I would think I was probably on the order of 12, 13 years old. You know,
and you see,
just,
you remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was just disturbing as hell. And then there was one more time at a spot we call Timberslide, where it's the trails like you were talking about. The Forest Service, especially in California, had trails that were like the highway system is now for us.
Mm-hmm.
And people would walk, 10, 20 miles a day and not think about it. You know, it was just what they did. And so there's remnants, just like what you were talking about with that other trail, there's remnants of these trails that we use to this day to get in and out of fishing spots because we keep to get in and out. Matter of fact, I'm going out again sometime in September. I'm going to go back up with my cousin once he gets through his surgery here and he's feeling better. We're going to go up there and brush it and then get a couple of days of fishing in. So, but that spot has some wide open areas where you feel, it would be easy for a creature like that to live and, have its life. But I've had the sensation there of being watched very intently. And you're basically down in a valley and then up almost sheer cliffs on either side of you in places. So
right.
Something could be up there watching you and you could not really tell where it's at, but I don't know what it is in the human body that senses that being watched thing, but whatever it does, it sets your hair on edge, And I suspect there are far more of this kind of thing that go on than people ever talk about.
The loggers up here in Washington, they don't talk about their sightings of Bigfoot because it's part of their job.
Yeah, you brought that up. Their equipment is picked up and tossed and I've heard those stories too, of equipment being just savaged. My grandfather told me stories of these things going after construction gear up in the Trinity area where they were putting in I-5 and some of the other interstates and cross connector type freeways that just had come back and they're 55 gallon drums full of fuel, which if you know how much that weighs. These things were tossed like they were nothing, and then you told me about it bent wheels on big construction.
Earth movers.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough to do.
Earth movers, not easy at all.
You're talking axles, about 5 inches across. That's just not easy. So...
one of the most interesting things that I can think of is back in about 1972, we had some people up here. Of course, that was after the Gimbel film with the Bigfoot up there by you. They had set up a trap for Bigfoot up here in the Pacific Northwest, and it was this cage. I don't know, it was like 9 feet tall, and it was probably about 8-9 feet wide, and it had these solid, 5-inch-around, solid titanium bars. And I'll never forget the picture on the front page of the Seattle Times. They showed this cage, and the bars were bent smooth out.
Oh, man.
Something got trapped in it and bent titanium bars like that and walked out of it. I'll never forget it.
I work in aerospace, and I know what titanium is, how strong it is, and what that will need. I mean, that's just not easy to do at all. As a matter of fact, we got some folks here, I think, here in the chat room. We had a couple talking about, I think it was Emerald Rose here.
Mm-hmm.
Our kid's husband and I saw a Bigfoot at my dad's in the Ozarks. And
3 of them.
Yeah, as we were leaving, 2 big ones and a small one hiding by trees really surprised us. So I bet you, Emerald Rose, you felt that same watching sensation that we've been talking about, that it would be just that thing that kind of puts your hair on edge. But, they're seen all across the United States. I saw something the other night that Arizona, recent sightings in Arizona now. So, do you hear whistling?
No, those are sirens.
Those are sirens. I was going,
yes. No, we have a lot of activity out here, so.
At 115, I think everybody's going to be ticked off.
Well, we had lightning strikes out here, and they've got some fires up on Mount Rainier right now, so I choose not to think about it. So.
Yeah, hopefully there's no fuse at the top and the thing doesn't light off like a big cake, you know.
I know. Now, some of my friends that I was telling you about that won't come on the radio, but I've read their some of their research. I'm sure you'd find it fascinating, too. One of the most fascinating things that I've read is that now they talk to these things, which I believe it. Okay, I'm a ghost hunter,
yeah.
And I'm also a sensitive with the gift of remote viewing, and if I can do that, I believe a lot of things on this planet are not always what they seem. And now to the juveniles, how they're made as adults is they have to jump down onto a trail in front of a human and wave their hands in your face, but you can't see them.
What? Oh,
now,
like
that coincides with some of the people that I know that have told me stories about feeling like they're being watched. And there's something in front of them, but they can't see it.
Yeah.
That's the juvenile test for Bigfoot. Now, if Bigfoot can appear and reappear, then you've got a hell of a creature on your hands. So, I mean, I think it's just interesting all the way around this Bigfoot. I mean, good Lord, you know, I hope that we never catch one and put it in a zoo and dissect it and study it. I don't need that to convince me that they're real because I've seen them with my own two eyes. So, are you still there? Hello? 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 Can you hear me now? Brian, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Brian? Can any of you hear me right now? Because I lost John, and I think we lost the audio of the show. I don't know if any of you can hear me or not, but okay. I don't know. All of a sudden, I lost everything. You can hear me, okay? Well, I can't hear John. So I don't really understand what happened. I don't know if you guys can hear John, but I can't hear him. So you're all saying yes. Yeah, I cannot hear John. So yeah, I don't have any. I can hear myself on my speakers. John's been abducted by aliens. Oh, man. Don't tell me I have to go out and search for John. Oh, John, I don't know where you are, but oh, my gosh. Oh, John's dialing in right now. Oh, my gosh, where did he go? He's dialing. I am dialed in, but I don't understand how come you guys can hear me, but I'm not in the, but I'm in the host queue. But John's got the switchboard, and he has to dial in. So I don't understand it, but as long as you guys can hear me, I know, I'm taking over the show. Anyways, I think it's interesting. I have some friends that are that talk to these Bigfoot, and they won't come on the show because they don't want, I don't know, I asked them if they would come on the show, and they said no, so I'll have to respect it, but I can kind of tell you what they say, and I've heard these recordings, and I'd really like to get them, see if I have to have their permission to get them on the show, so if I can get these recordings on the show, you wouldn't recognize their voices anyways, but it's really interesting to hear these guys talking to these Bigfoot. Now, there's a family of Bigfoot that live by... Brian. There's a family...
Radio.
Hello?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please...
Okay. Hello?
Oh, are we back?
Well, that sounded kind of weird. Did you guys hear that? Move back to the back, 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 to the forward, to the back, to the rear, to the forward, and to the back. Here we go. Boom, boom, boom. Choom, choom, choom. Keep posting, counting up. Press 1 for English. Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Oh, no, this is terrible. I just suddenly, there. Am I still here? Can everybody hear me? Hello? Anyway, I hope you can hear me. Can somebody tell me? I'm going to hang up.